Giving away control is signing a contract with blank spaces in it. Giving away control is signing a blank contract, is signing a contract with blank spaces in it. Do you know what it means to sign a contract with blank spaces in it? I agree to buy this house, signed my name, and you put down what you think it's worth. So the people you're buying it for from, they say, well, just a little cottage, very special cottage. We love it very much. To us, it's priceless. To us, it's worth millions of dollars. So you put down $2 million, a little cottage that's worth about $10,000. And so then you go to execute the contract and put it in the bank, and the bank says, you're paying $2 million for that $10,000 cottage? What is wrong with you? Well, we just told them, put down whatever price you want. Well, I've got some property I'd like to sell you, you know. Come take a look at it. No, no. This was just that property. Now, who in their right mind would ever sign a blank contract? Well, virtually everyone. Virtually everyone. They read through contracts and they don't catch all of the little areas. They don't catch all the little fine print. And because they don't catch the fine print, they don't realize what they're signing. They don't realize what they're doing. There are many contracts that say, well, for instance, this is a perfect illustration. You all know Martin Suter? Well, Martin Suter went to idiot school. And in idiot school, he did not learn to speak French. He learned to speak German and whatever else he speaks, I don't know. But he didn't learn to speak French. So then he went down to, where'd he go?
Cameroon.
And in the Cameroon, they speak
French.
And he fell in love with a beautiful Cameroon girl. And he said, I want to marry you. And she says, good, well, come, let's get married in the Cameroon because I'm from a big family there. We have many important people who would like to attend. He said, okay, no problem. So he thought he was going to have a marriage like they do everywhere else. Well, when he got down there, he was sitting there smiling his idiot smile, and it was being videotaped, so we knew it was being done. And so then the mayor, who was conducting the ceremony, was a woman, and she came over to him and she says, you don't understand a word they're saying, do you? And he says, no. He said, but I love her. And so then the mayor began to explain to him what it was he was doing. He had a two-phase contract. One phase, he could act one way, and another phase, another way. In one phase of the contract, he could marry this woman and have as many other women as he wanted. And if this woman misbehaved, he could shoot her, he could beat her up, he could do anything he wanted to her. And in the other contract, it was he would have no other woman except this woman. He would be her sole husband, and she'd be his sole wife. They would not fool around with anybody else. And they would be true to each other. But still, the husband would have total authority. And so he says, I don't care which one, you know. And so they married him. And he's never sure what he can do. But of course, there's really no problem for this wonderful Mr. Martin, because his wife is a very domineering, demanding, definite lady who does exactly what she wants to do, regardless of what the marriage vow said. But if under Cameroon law, he wanted her to uphold the rules, he could be quite severe to her. not in Switzerland. He'd have to be in the Cameroon to be that severe to her. And he wouldn't do that either. But you see, giving away control, when we say, we will do whatever you want us to do, we'll say whatever you want us to say, we'll be whatever you want us to be, because we want something, you just can't do that. Now you say, well, Herb, you tell us to say whatever you want us to say, you tell us to do whatever you want us to do, you tell us to follow the program, you tell us that whatever the program is, we have to follow it, we have to do it. And I say, no, I don't say that to you. I say, if you come to the campus, this is our program. If you want to remain here, this is our program. If you don't want to remain here, you do as you wish. If you want to call yourself a monk and go live like something else, that's your privilege. But if you're going to be on campus, then you have chosen to live by a certain set of rules, and those are the ones we live by. You see, you're not giving away control, signing a blank contract by coming to campus. You are coming here with a very knowledgeable awareness of what's going on. And Martin, when he married his Olivia from the Cameroon, he knew exactly what he was getting into because she explained it to him ahead of time. So when the mayor came over and said to him, you don't know what it is, he said no, because he wanted her to explain it to him too, because his wife had explained it, but the mayor explained it quite a bit differently than his wife had explained it, you can be sure. And so he heard it from a different point of view, but he still liked it. You see, many people give away control because they have also given away something else. Many people give away control because they've also given away their self-confidence, their belief in themselves, the awareness of who and what they are. They don't think they are worthy of anything other than what they're getting. And so they give away their right to be a human being. They give away their right to be a divine being. They give it away. And this is a very sad thing. It's a very sad thing. Because many of these people are very intelligent. Many of these people are very knowledgeable. They're educated people. They're experienced people. But somewhere in their upbringing, in their family, they were told that they're not very nice people. They were told that if any girl ever says yes to them, they better grab it. Or if any boy ever asks them to marry them, they better grab them. Now, you all know the story of the fiddler on the roof, right? And what is the basic story of the fiddler on the roof? How to get his daughters married. He has five daughters, and he has to marry them in order, the oldest first. And then as you clear the house of the oldest, then the next, then the next, then the next. And it's not a matter of whether the girl loves the boy or the boy loves the girl. It's just a matter that they make a couple, boy, girl. They make a couple, and they have children. And so at one point in The Fiddler on the Roof, he's singing to his wife, he's saying, do you love me? And she says, do I wash your clothes? Do I make your meals? But do you love me? Do I take care of your children? Do I handle their needs? But do you love me? And on he pathetically asks the question, do you love me? And finally she says, yeah, I guess I do. But the real answer to this question is this: does he love her? If he loves her, it doesn't make any difference whether she loves him or not. If he loves her with all his heart and soul and being, he will have the happiest marriage that anyone could ever have. But it is the story of the fiddler on the roof. It is the song. It is the music. It is the game that they play, and having a middle wife who finds husbands or wives for women and men. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's part of their game. But they're signing a blank contract. They don't know who she is or who he is. Oh, he's the butcher. Oh, she comes from a good family. But it's a blank contract. It's a blank contract with one missing ingredient so glaringly missing that it is really a shame. What is the missing ingredient? Can anyone tell me? The missing ingredient is love. Do you love me? Now, if I love you, for me that's enough. If you love me, for you that should be enough. If we love each other, that should be enough. As far as the marriage goes. But what should the fiddler of the roof been singing to his sweetheart? He should have guessed.
I love you.
That's nice. Thank you. I accept. The fiddler on the roof should have been singing to his sweetheart, I like me. I love me. I created you in my world as a perfect reflection of all that is good and beautiful in me. I created you as a reflection of who I am. I love me, and therefore I love you. Now, at first that wouldn't be understood. At first that would be thought to be very vain and very pompous. But in reality, that is the only thing any of us can ever do, is to first love ourselves and then love our creation. The story of the fiddler of the roof is pathetic. The people in it run off with people they love, and they're not understood. The father said, but I had a good husband for you. But they ran off anyhow. And when they do this, the whole community is sad. The whole group, but none of them are thinking, I love you because I love me. I love you because I am a lovable person. Have you ever met anyone that was just very lovable? From the very moment you met them, you thought, wow, they're nice. They're nice people. You know, nice people. And have you ever met anyone like that? Yes, we have. Why did you meet them? Because you created them, because they were a reflection of you. Well, now, why don't you use that same talent and create a husband or a wife, whichever it is that you're looking for, if you are? Or, better yet, create friends in your world who reflect who you really are. That's beautiful, right? When we do that, we have everything going for ourselves. And this is what it's all about. You see, the marriages of the world, even our traditional marriages of the Jews, the Christians, the Muhammads, the Islamic people, whomever, the Buddhists, all these marriages, do you think they all end up in harmony? When you read the Bible, you read of many hundreds of ways in which a man can dispose of his wife. How to get a divorce is quite a common report in the Bible, because it is quite common. And thievery is quite common in the Bible. How to deal with someone who steals from you. Well, now, why don't they have quite a bit of report on how to deal with someone who is loving to you, who is gentle and kind and considerate, someone who is beautiful to you? Well, you don't read about that, because that's not the news. The news is the exception. And really, take a look at it. In the Bible, how many divorces were there compared to how many marriages there were? All you have to do is go to some of the chapters and you see how many marriages they had and how long the marriage was and how long this was and then how many wives the man was allowed to have and things like that. I mean, they were fantastic, like the Mormons. they were allowed to have all the wives they wanted. And so they had very big families. Now, how could the Mormons support a wife, the wives, and all the children they had? And many people today cannot even support one wife or can't even support themselves. You know? Very interesting. Very interesting. I was talking with Art, and he was talking about remembering the day when he lived from hand to mouth. He would go and earn it, and he'd spend it, earn it and spend it. And when he started learning how to put some money away, and you know when that was that he started learning how to put money away? He was about 12. And he worked for a newspaper, and he would deliver the newspaper, and he would have them put aside a certain amount of his newspaper money for him. And then, when he was done with his newspaper job, he decided that he was going to become a businessman. So he went down to the newspaper and collected his money, because he had put it aside, so he had some. And he had almost $100. And he bought a lawnmower. Not a lawnmower that you pull the cord to make it start, but that you press the button to make it start. He went class all the way. And then, in his ignorance, he brought the lawnmower home, and his father says, "Good, you can mow our lawn." So he mowed the front lawn like a whiz. He mowed the back lawn, and he got to the grass that was really tough. And when he got to the grass that was tough, the lawnmower went poof, shut off. And then he tried again, and it went poof, and shut off. And then he tried it again, and his lawnmower took on a new sound. What had happened? There was a governor built onto the lawnmower. For the first half an hour or hour that it was being used, it was maintained at a certain level so that it wouldn't burn up the bearings and so forth. And after that, the governor cut off, and it went like great. And he went through the crabgrass and mowed it down so fast and so delightfully, which before they had to take the hand lawnmower and they had to start running, and then they had to run into it. And they'd go into it for about 2 or 3 feet, and then they'd have to start back again and run into it again. But you see, he didn't know that his lawnmower had a governor on it. And he was very delightfully pleased to find out that it did, and now that it would cut that quack grass. So these are wonderful things that happen to us when we learn to respect ourselves. We learn to put our money away. We learn to not sign any blank contracts, but to go in life with an openness and a wholeness and a realization of just how wonderful we are, because truly we are wonderful. Giving away control is signing a contract with blank spaces on it. We don't ever want to do that. We are too brilliant for that. And so we always read everything on every contract we sign, and we never get into trouble. I love you very much.